Hello and welcome to the Lancet Respiratory Medicine in Conversation with podcast. I am Ari, deputy editor within this journal, and I'm joined today by Dr. Anne Chang from the Queensland University of Technology in Brisbane, Australia. We will be discussing today her recent publication, which is a point of view investigating the burden of chronic respiratory diseases in Indigenous people on a global scale. Anne, thank you so much for joining us today and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Ari, and thank you to the Lancet Respiratory Med for inviting me to this podcast. It's wonderful to be here.
I thought perhaps we can start by asking, which was the driving force to write this piece and for the selection of this particular topic?
Okay, so Lancet Respiratory Medicine, using its global equity lens on the 10th year anniversary, invited me to write a piece. They firstly asked, is it worth writing a piece? And I said yes, because there are many issues around Indigenous people, and lung issues are definitely underserviced and under research. And those of us in respiratory medicine, but not many other divisions of medicine, realize that respiratory health governs future lung health. So the Lancet series have published quite a lot on how if you have poor lung health, you have got poorer cardiovascular outcomes as well. And Indigenous people, unfortunately, have a higher burden of all these diseases. And until we undertook this piece, which was a systematic review based on evidence, using a very much data-driven approach, there was no systematic review pertaining to this topic. Most of the studies have not been data-driven whatsoever. And those of us, obviously, in academia really want to focus on data-driven stuff. So this provided us an opportunity to raise the profile and the awareness of the burden of lung disease in Indigenous people globally. So hopefully people can start to take some action and to work collaboratively towards improving the lung health.
Thank you, Anne. That was really interesting. And can you comment on the main findings in terms of burden of disease and also the main reasons that you identified to explain this disparity?
Okay, so not surprisingly, we found that there's a higher prevalence of most, but not all, chronic respiratory diseases across Indigenous people. But unfortunately, there's very little data in lower and middle income countries. In the high income countries, there are a multitude of studies, but most describe prevalence and disparity, but there are actually fewer, yet more important studies that focus on improving their outcomes. There are many factors that drive the higher prevalence, and these include a higher prevalence of the risk factors to chronic respiratory diseases, which includes increased tobacco smoking, low birth weight, prematurity, poor nutrition, air pollution, high burden of infections and poverty. There are also obviously other drivers, which includes the desperate access to appropriate diagnosis and care. And these factors are often said to be a consequence of historic and current colonization and racism. But we really don't know the relative effect or relative size effect of these contributions. But we do know that they do not account for all the disparity. And waiting for social determinants to improve will actually set Indigenous people back even more, because it will deprive them of effective evidence-based therapeutics. I mean, for example, our systematic review showed that competent health services that are culturally safe, in collaboration with local Indigenous services, are important, and it leads to improved health outcomes, such as better lung function.
Thank you, Anne. I was wondering, where would you place this piece within the context of global research on the health of Indigenous people?
Thank you. I'm obviously going to be a little bit selfish here, and you asked me about my research, so I'll focus on my research. So we are very lucky that we've had funding over the years to do several studies focusing on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, which is the Australian Indigenous group. And some of the work has also been done with Cass Burns New Zealand group. And they are outlined in Table 1. And these include randomized controlled trials on preventing exacerbations of bronchiectasis, hospitalizations, and also treatment of these exacerbations. Our other studies include improving asthma outcomes through including Aboriginal and Torres Strait health workers in the clinic structure, so they actually have a voice in educating the parents. And we are very lucky because we have an Australian-funded NHMRC Centre of Research Excellence that does have a focus on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. And we are currently doing randomized controlled trials preventing acute respiratory infections in early life through maternal vaccination, the use of vitamin D antenatally and postnatally, as well as azithromycin to prevent rehospitalization. And we do have other work in the pipeline. For example, we've got a study at the moment, we're trying to work with Guatemala with Dr. Behutin, and we got a fund that we've applied for through the Treasure Foundation. And we're also very lucky because we've got this European Respiratory Center, CRC, or Center for Research Collaboration, called Charles Bennett, where we now have an international registry, and we are working with other groups around the world, including the Guatemalan group, the South African group, to actually try and get some data that will help lead to better outcomes for at least the children with bronchiectasis.
And to conclude, what is the way forward? What, in your view, can be done in the future to alleviate this burden?
Yeah, thanks, Ari. That's a really important question as well. So we know that we need strategies to improve lung health, but to do that, we must try and attain optimal lung function. I mean, the Lancet Respiratory Medicine has published many papers now which highlight the importance of improving lung function. And to do that, we need to start from preconception and early childhood, where most of the diseases originate from. Focusing just on adults is just not going to be good enough. We know that it's not enough for policies and health systems just to be culturally safe. Obviously, culturally safety is very important, but they also need to be competent and responsive. It just has to happen together. Just one aspect alone is really not sufficient. We know to achieve improved outcomes and reducing this disparity is undoubtedly complex, but we do require collaboration and effort from the ground up and all levels of healthcare. And importantly, we need government investment into respiratory health that is at least proportionate to the global burden. Unfortunately, lung diseases is underfunded proportionate to disease, and more so amongst indigenous populations. But I think the key thing is that no matter where we work as clinicians or whatever our work is, we know that we can make a difference. We cannot just wait for social determinants to be addressed. And thus, in the paper, we've presented a diagram where clinicians can act, which includes a high-quality clinical service, education, research, and capacity building. And also in our paper, we presented a table where we suggested things for clinical care and research priorities. We do acknowledge that it's not easy, but no matter what we do, we need to work collaboratively with the local Indigenous groups. And through working alongside Indigenous people, we really can make a positive difference.
Thank you, Anne. That was really interesting. And it was really interesting to hear more about chronic respiratory diseases in Indigenous people. If you would like to read the point of view discussed today, you can find it online via thelancet.com, where you can also listen to our previous podcast episode.